You're tuned in to Blessed, Humble, Determined, the podcast where hustle meets heart and stories of grit fuel your greatness. For 5 seasons, we've inspired you to push past limits, rise through setbacks, and build the life you were meant for. This season, it's bigger than goals. This is legacy. Let's get it.
Like this, because it is important
for sure.
It is important,
absolutely.
We don't got to spend a lot of time, but I do want to get your thoughts. Like, what is that, your first time seeing it?
Yeah, that is my first time seeing
okay,
that.
Okay, sweet.
So I saw somebody talk about it, but I didn't see the actual right. clip. Cool. But pertaining to that, man, I know that we're in this realm where this stuff is like it's a very constant thing. But I'll say this, man. I think because there's nuances to it. But I'll say this on a serious note. I think if you know, any man is on his grind and he has a woman with him beside him throughout the duration of his grind and then he obtains, mm-hmm. I feel like you do, in your natural proclivity, you should want to make sure that you can take care of her in every route. And you should, like, you owe her that, you know what I mean? Like, that's truthfully how I look at it. Like, if you've had a woman that's been with you when you didn't have anything, she saw you grind, she's been with you on your journey, and then you obtain, you manifest, you pray, and these things come into fruition, you should make sure she's good in every route. You should make sure that she's taken care of and everything is cool. Now, if you become, you know what I mean? Yeah. And in your journey, let's say you've had relationships or whatever, but they just didn't withstand the test of time. And now you have a bag, you have millions. I mean, the reality is this, like, you don't owe anybody anything.
Now, if
you do meet a woman and she withstands the test of time and she shows that, you know, she is worthy in a multitude of ways through time, then absolutely, mm-hmm. you should make sure she's cool, but that takes time. And that's definitely not out the gate.
Do you think, okay, I think your answer is perfect. I think it's right on line. And I didn't think you were going to go any other direction than what you just said. Yeah. That's just based off of knowing you. But do you think, this is just another question, then we can have a conversation mm-hmm. about it. Like, do you think there's a right time, right place to expect or to maybe get that type of love, energy, attention in a relationship? Do you feel like dating, as a girlfriend, as a boyfriend, you should be getting that type of.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I see what you're saying.
Taking care of, but like.
Yeah, just making sure you're good. Right. Yeah, I get what you mean.
Do you think that's appropriate as a girlfriend, or is that
to expect that?
To expect that.
I think that is wild. I'm gonna be honest. I think that's sure. That's a wild. Because look, the reality is we're all adults, right? So if you have somebody that's coming into your life and that loves you and cares about you, and they're saying they're willing to take half of your whatever you have going on,
right.
half of whatever you have going on, that right there is a blessing. Because think about on the flip side, as men, are you ever really expecting anybody to take half of whatever you have going on? Just in your own path, mm-hmm. just in your own path, subsiding a girlfriend, subsiding a situation, whatever. Are you ever expecting somebody to come in and be like, oh yeah, I'll take care of half of your bills. I'll take care of half of your car note. I'll take half of your groceries. No, you're flipping everything. Mm-hmm. So if it's reversed, it's like, hey, look, don't worry about this. I'll take care of it. I'll worry about, like, that should be like a, there should be gratitude within that. Not a, what do I look like?
Yeah.
Like, what do I look like putting on for this or that? It's like the level of entitlement is crazy, but that's the times we live in. Well, at least in America.
In America. I'm gonna just come out and say, like, in America, it's crazy right now.
It's fried, bro. It's fried, man. It's fried. And that's why, I mean, just to be as candid as possible, and that's why I tell all my homies, like, hey, look, you should have a desire to want to just see the world and travel, but at the same time, and get your passport. Get your passport, man, because it's, get your passport for real, because there's real utopias out here, for real. You know what I mean? And the things we face, just not even in that, just as far as in America
mm-hmm.
in totality mm-hmm. are not things that you'll face when you go to other countries. Cost of living can be better. Yeah. Food is better. Not saying can be, is better. Cost of living is
the
better.
Dynamic
food is
things.
Better. The dynamic is better. And people are operating in their natural proclivity. Right. Men are operating as men. Women are operating as women. And so it's like, I see things like that, and I just laugh at it, man. I really laugh at it. You know what I mean?
And again, ties back into the conversation we had last week. It's being unproblematic when it comes to seeing stuff like this. And it did, I'm not even going to lie. Like it was in the morning when I saw it. And this is just another point to like being on social media in the morning is just not something that you should be doing.
For sure.
Me specifically, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And then obviously I had a conversation later, but it was like 10 seconds past and I was like, all right, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think the approach is coming from, and again, it's not to say that everyone is on the same path. There are people out there that are okay with not marriage or not wanting to get married, which, you know, that's not neither here nor there, but it's more of a, as God-fearing men.
Absolutely.
We are brought up to understand that your woman isn't her until she is your wife.
Absolutely.
And I'm speaking on that in terms of I've made some really messed up decisions. I'm just going to put it out there before I even try to even give my two cents about it. But like I've made some really dumb decisions in relationships. But to sit here and say like, as someone that comes off like that, I think it could have at least been dialed down a little bit because I think there was a little bit of entitlement that came across for me and it just rubbed me the wrong way sense. So it was kind of weird, but I don't think there's anything wrong with expecting that. And in those conversations, I think everyone should want what they want when it comes to wanting a partner. Mm-hmm. But when it crosses the line is how it's talked about or communicated. And I just, you know, she may be like a really great person. She may have done so much in that relationship, which I won't ever know. Mm-hmm. But I think in those 8 to 10 seconds that she could have really made an impact, not only for like other people, but like for people that are trying to be in a situation like she is, I think it was just kind of told the wrong way. I think there was a different way to say it. So I will say, like, for me personally, if I ever got to that point to where it was coming down to like, I want to be taken care of, I think it would have to be more in like a marriage situation.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Like, I don't know, man. That's absolutely. Just me though. Yeah, that can sound cheap. That can
no,
sound.
No, it's not though, but it's not.
Like,
though.
And I don't care. It's but not. At the same time,
I feel you.
It's
I
like,
feel you.
Who are we to sit here and place that much into, you know, that's a lot, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah.
That is a lot.
Yeah. And I just think, man, it's just the times that we're in, man. We're in like weird times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're in weird times. But, you know, I think truthfully, I just always take ownership as a man. You know what I mean? As far as how men should take ownership for how they're supposed to move. It's for a man to do his due diligence. And because let's not get it twisted, there are some great women out here. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, for sure. And I know for sure it's for the man to take his time. And I have a sense of what's the word I'm looking for? It's a specific word I'm looking for. But basically do his due diligence in making sure that he's dealing with the right woman. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
No, that's
like,
true.
That's the real
it's a
point
cognitive
right there.
Awareness to Absolutely. Know like, hey, maybe that's not for me.
Absolutely.
And that's why I said there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah. I do think it was you know, came off the wrong way. Maybe they just picked the wrong clip. Maybe there was more that we should have been listening to at the end, which is why I say I'm not even gonna judge her character by it. I'm just saying in that moment it was definitely coming off as a little bit entitled, which is, you know.
But you took it the right way, though, because I think when it's...
Well,
when
she didn't answer the question.
When it said, what do I look like? That's when it's
you
like...
You did not answer the question. Yeah. And I was still waiting there, like, where's the answer at? Which, again, but no, I do hear you. I think it takes a level of... You just move a different direction.
Yeah,
if that's what you decide to go after, that is just as much on you as it is on the person that you're with as a man. And I appreciate you speaking of it from like a, what we can do as men in that, in that situation. Cause that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. That's all it boils down to. It's like, you're like, I've seen certain things and I watch certain things and certain stuff I just can't relate to. You know what I mean? And not from the sense of I can't see, like I can't contextualize it, but it's not my experience because I don't ever put, I'm like, everything again is spiritual and everything is energy based. So I don't attract, like certain things just aren't going to attract to certain people when they're operating in a certain space.
Right.
So I'm not going to be able to, like, I see stuff like that and I laugh and I'm like, that's funny for one, but also two, if a guy is dealing with that, that's on you for dealing with that.
That's true.
And what's going on with you to where you're dealing with that? Because there are certain men out here that aren't dealing with stuff like that. Because they carry themselves a certain way. Mm-hmm. They operate in a certain space. They have a certain disposition. They have a certain mind frame. They're able to assess situations a certain way. And so certain things don't even come in their realm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't even, they wouldn't even entertain it because it doesn't even come towards them. Mm-hmm. So stuff like that, I see it and I'm just like, it's laughable. But then I also look at it if it was reversed. if, you know what I mean? Let's say it's a smooth guy, a handsome guy, and he's like, and he's just, and he's almost like, well, look at who I am. You know what I mean? You're supposed to fold when you see me. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I mean, like it would look like it's reversed, but it still looks like an entitled mindset. Like you're expecting something mm-hmm. based off how you look. And it's like, at that point now it's corny. You know what I mean? I look at it like it's corny because, okay, yeah, if you're a beautiful woman, if you're a handsome man, of course there are going to be certain privileges you get just as far as in the world.
Yeah.
That's just a reality.
You're
gonna
get by, like, for
sure. You're going to be able to like live a certain way or experience certain things based
and
on
some
based
others
on,
may not be exactly, able to experience based off of your physical look.
Exactly. But that doesn't give you a right to just expect certain stuff. Or to not have a personality or to be like, you see how I look. You're supposed to just do this just based off how I look. And that's the energy that I get when I see stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, I look good. You're supposed to do this for me just because I look good. And it's like, that's like, what does that mean? You know what I mean? It's, like, what does that mean?
It comes out confusing for sure. Like,
it just looks entitled. It looks entitled.
It does.
And
then you start thinking to yourself, like, am I crazy for not thinking what they think that I should be thinking? And, you know, you get into that game of, what do you want me to think? And then you're just there playing, you know, the mind games of like, okay, I should be coming off this way or I shouldn't. And it's like, just move the other way.
Yeah. Just totally not deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I look at it. And that's why I say it's for the men to be able to like see something, assess and be like, and I'm not even going to deal with anything like that. You know what I mean? Or you see something and you're like, I know I would never interact with something like just based off because how we say things matters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So how we say things and somebody perceives it a certain way, we can control that. You know what I mean? Like now somebody could also word that and say like, hey, you know, she could have been like, or just a woman could be like, in that sense, you know, I do feel like I have wife traits. I have wife qualities. And I do want to put myself in the best light and imagery of that so that when I do become a wife, I can be taken care of.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Right.
That makes sense. And that's honestly, that would be received in a way to where it's like, okay, I see where she's coming from. But not, what do I look like? What do I look like? Do I look like I go fit? And I was like, I'm cool. Nope. Nope. Because it's like, nah, you know what you're saying. And you know you said it a certain way.
Yeah.
It would be the same way if a man says something a certain way. Like, all these women, this and that. It's like, bro, that's not the right way.
No.
You can express certain mm-hmm. things, but express it in a way to where you can give context to it. And you can give like a reality to it as well. But when you say certain things, just very matter of fact, and it's like very blanket, it looks like, for one, to me, it looks like you don't know how to communicate, or you're just saying stuff just to like,
it looks like you're hurt, man.
Yeah, no,
like
for
you're
sure.
Hurting by something.
For sure.
And I will for sure. Like I attest with that. Or I agree with that. With the comment that you mentioned about like putting a blanket statement over everything.
Yeah.
And I've caught myself and I've gotten a lot better at, instead of saying women or men, I say people.
Mm-hmm.
I say as people, you know, in this case, in the situation to where the entitlement is around dating, it's messed up.
It is.
Like it's messed up on both ends,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to go ahead and take responsibility for the men on this side. It's like, it's messed up because we are the same ones that are still playing this battle of like, oh, women this, women that, mm-hmm. you know, women want this. They want an X amount. They want X mm-hmm. dollars in salary mm-hmm. in a man. Like there's a quality man is all about money now. And it's just like, well, just don't talk to him.
Yeah, for sure.
Like we just said, just move on. Mm-hmm. And you're complaining about something and all it is making you look like you're hurt by someone.
Sure.
Like
for
somebody
sure.
really hurt your feelings, which
absolutely.
Is great. But again, just be able to admit it to yourself and move on. Like you don't have
absolutely.
To get on this high horse and, you know, start blanketing statements on everything. So
yeah. Or get your passport.
Get
your passport. That's what I promote. Get your passport. But no, I say that for one, because for one, you should have a desire to see the world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But then also, like, I look at it like this, and I think this is, I was thinking about this analogy the other day. I think I mentioned it before, but like, let's say you've been to like a Steak 48, right? Mm-hmm. Or you've been to a high-end restaurant. And then we've all had experiences of eating fast food, like McDonald's, Wendy's, you know, things like that. So let's say you go to a McDonald's, but you've already, let's say for like 3 days out the week, you've eaten at Nobu, Ocean 44, Steak 48. And then let's say Friday.
I haven't even eaten all those places.
For sure. But you had, let's say somebody's had those experiences,
sure.
you know what I mean? And then on that Friday, they go to a McDonald's.
Mm.
And somebody's trying to tell them like, or trying to like make them contextualize, oh, well, you know, you could, like the fries, just act like the fries are from Ocean 44 or act like, and it's like, you've already experienced that experience in Ocean 44. You've experienced Steak 48. You experienced Nobu. Like, you can't unsee or unfeel those experiences.
No, for sure.
You know what I mean? And so I say that to say, like, if you just go to places or you travel into environments to where it's just a different vibe. You know what I mean? Like, you're treated a certain way. You're nurtured a certain way. You're looked at a certain, it's like, and then you come, and I'm just going to be very honest, and then you, because we're in America, then you experience certain things here, it's like, you can't unfit, you know what I mean? You can't, you can't unexperience that. And that's why I tell a lot of my homies, like, hey, get your passport so you can see the world, but also so you can experience different things. Yeah. It's going to change your perspective. Mm-hmm. And then what it will do is less of a rant. Oh, they're like this here. Okay, so what? So what? You can go other places to where it's not like that.
Yeah.
So what if it's like that? And I think that's, and I say all that to say, I think that's part of a trait of being a man, is being able to assess, problem solve, and figure it out.
That's the key point, is problem solving.
It's problem solve. And not, because I look at it like, when people complain, it's like, after a while, if you don't do something about it, I look at it like, you like complaining.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sure. You like these complaints.
Absolutely.
But if you're making provisions to be like, okay, I'm about every check, I'm gonna put something up, I'm gonna get a flight, and I'm gonna just go experience, now you're doing something about it. And now I can look at it and say, okay, he's, you know what I mean? He's seeing a dynamic, it's not fitting for him, he's going elsewhere, instead of, oh, it's like this here, or I keep, so what? So what?
Bro, get out of the pouting stage, that's what it is.
Get your, stack up, get a passport, and go experience the world. And stop complaining, it's that simple. God willing, you don't have a felony or something going on which prohibits you from doing that. If you don't have anything stopping you, last time I checked, they're still making airplanes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're still making airplanes. Get on an airplane. Stop complaining. So when I see people complain about stuff, I'm like, you're not serious about seeing stuff. For me, all 2025, travel. Travel. Because I want to see the world and I desire to experience certain things. And it's
that's
like
your priority.
Yeah.
That's where your head's at. That's where your mind's at. So it's going to take you there.
And I'm not going to keep, there's no complaints.
No.
I see the dynamic. Okay, cool. It's like that here. I'm out.
You find an
experience. Yeah, it's that simple.
And I think the biggest thing was in what you just got done saying is the fact that there's the problem solving tactic missing in a lot of men. Mm-hmm. I want to stay on this for a good minute, because dude, I've never realized how much of age is just like it's like fake. Like take age out of everything and you'll really understand what a true person looks like or a true man looks like.
Yeah.
Based off of how they problem solve. And absolutely. I kid you not, I come across so many guys, bro, in our age, a little bit later, who still complain about the things that they could still have control over. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, there's a difference from venting
absolutely
people that you trust,
that's a great point,
and you're caring for,
great point,
and then just completely sharing things that you have no idea who these people are.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, get over the venting session, just like we talked about last time. Yeah. You know, find a way. And that was like a motto that I was raised with by my dad. And it's like, hey, if you don't have, you know, this type of workout equipment, or if you don't have this, go do push-ups, go do crunches, and
figure it out.
Like in college, dude, I didn't have anything that everyone else had as a team, because we were just off on our own little thing. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't work out or practice when the team was there. Mm-hmm. So I had to find a way. But I would go to my dad's high school field. I would get a tire from the football field and bring it to the baseball field and just flip tires and find a way.
Absolutely.
Like you just get it done. Once you have a certain mindset and dog about you, you just get it done, and it transpires to all
everything.
Of it.
It's everything.
And like it's the same thing with startup mentality. Like if you have a startup mentality, you're gonna finish and get things done. And
absolutely.
That's what's attractive.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not attractive to have money and to still be a problem and to still not know how to problem solve.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, for sure.
So that would be my like hot take, is if you don't know how to problem solve, you're not a man.
Yeah. No, I would say, like, that's definitely a characteristic of a man, is being able to problem solve.
How are you supposed to take care of not only yourself, but a family?
Yeah, exactly.
Dude? Like how are you supposed to do it?
Exactly.
Nobody's perfect at it, but come on now.
It's the mind frame.
Right.
It's the mind frame.
Right. How do you move about it?
Mm-hmm. And I also think, you know what I mean, to further exactly what you were saying, just having that mindset alone, and if people see you're in a space to where maybe you don't have certain things, but they see the intuitiveness to where you're working on stuff, God will bring people into your lives to where they see what you're doing, and they're like, okay, I can assist you, because I see you working. I see you grinding. I see you might not have this equipment. I have this equipment. I see you might not have this connection, but I see you here all the time. Let me put you in contact with this person so that you can forge your mission. Like, it will happen for you. But this woe is me.
There it is.
Nobody wants to be, especially people who have high vibrations.
Yeah.
They're going to see that and be like, I don't want to be any like around this person at all. Even if they are on their grind, even if they are figuring stuff out, even if they are having their struggles, it's still a mindset of, I'm going to be calm. I'm persevering. I'm figuring it out. Who can I reach out to? Like, I just got to keep going. I have to keep, and people will eventually see that. So I agree, man. Like, I stay away. When I see people complaining, whatever it is, you got one time to complain. And it's a difference between complaining and venting.
Yes,
like you said,
yes.
You can tell when somebody's venting and that's cool. But when it's constantly complaints, oh, it's like this here, or I don't want it. Nah, because you can do something about it. If you're able-bodied, you have all your faculties, you're in your right mind, you can do something about it. Even if it's minute, you can do something. So if you're not, I just look at it like you like complaining. That's how I take it. Like, you like complaining and you want somebody to feed your complaining so you can sit in it and feel good about it. Nah.
You see it all the time at work. Yeah. And I think a consistent comment that has been told to me by supervisors since I started working in corporate America is, you don't seem fazed by anything. Like, job I go to, you know, meeting on one-on-ones with, you know, SVPs or CEOs, COOs, whatever. And like, you just adapt. Like, you just move and, you know, there's layoffs here. Or if there's, you know, money taken out of this, or we just completely stop a project you're working on and move you another way. You're just like, sure. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
And it's true, dude. Like, there's not much that phases me like that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I've been through things in my life, not just like crazy things, but like, I've been through things in my life to understand that anything can happen at any given moment.
Very true.
We cannot be here in 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. Something could happen to us right now.
Yeah.
And I think once you start having that mindset and appreciating a little bit more of like the times that we're in, you know, finding happiness in the times that we're down, life would be a little bit easier, you know? And I can't speak for everyone's situation, but as a man, if you were to just understand that, like, hey, I'm just going to find a way to get through this.
Absolutely.
And if I give it my all, like you said, people are going to come with resources. Yeah. God's going to help me. God's going to touch me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't got to worry about that. Mm-hmm. So, like, having that mindset is just huge, because not only is it going to take you places, but it attracts you to the people that, like I said, we're not sitting here for no reason.
Yeah.
And I told my dad this story. I told him how, it's funny how, like, we started running into each other at Nike. Like,
For sure.
We ran into each other at Nike, like, what, 2 or 3 times?
Yeah.
And I told him every time that we would run into each other, it wasn't like a, hey, what's up, bro? Yeah, the awkward conversation. It was like a, hey, how are you doing? Having a 30-minute conversation at Nike.
Yeah.
So whereas like it got to the point where, hey, bro, like I really want to jump on. Like, let's make something happen. And we're 4 episodes in, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
it's all divine intervention, man. Mm-hmm. And that's why there's no such thing as luck. There's no such thing as chance. There's no such thing as coincidence. Mm-hmm. Everything is divine intervention. Everything is. Whether people want to realize it or not, if you walk outside right now and there's $100 on the ground, you're not lucky.
You needed that.
You're not lucky. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's divine intervention. That was left there by whatever happened. You just happened to walk, and God bless you with that. You're in the gym. You're meeting. Let's say you have a conversation with somebody, and they're like, hey, look, I have this space for, like, it's a crazy backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you want to do you can have your podcast here. That's, I was lucky. You're not lucky. I mean, honestly, when I see people do stuff like that, I really look at it like, you're not giving the proper credit and due diligence and the credit for what's really going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're in a gym every day and you put on a fit and it's hit your cuts right, and somebody's like, oh, you're lucky to have a body like that. How? How are you lucky to have a body like that? You're in a gym all the time.
Yeah,
you're not lucky. That's by work. So I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe in chance. Everything is divine intervention. Everything is by God. Everything is divine intervention, man. Everything. There's no such thing as luck. Luck is almost like, I don't know, like a societal, like a good job thing. But it's like, no, there's no such thing
as luck. It's an excuse to not compliment the work that's being put at hand.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Even when people say, and I think, man, I'm just very big on just like, you know, how we expression and verbiage and you know, when people say the term the sky is the limit, that throws me. That throws me every time somebody says it, because people usually say it like it's a grandiose thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? We're a great team. You know, the sky is the limit for us. Well, you're saying it in a way to where it's like it's endless, but you're putting a cap on it. Why are you saying the sky is? Yeah. Why are you saying the sky is the limit? For one, we've been to space. So there's it's unlimited.
Yeah.
But when I hear people say that, it lets me know, you know, and it's not to judge, but it just lets me know, like, you're just basically regurgitating this phrase that you've heard people say, and you're attaching it to like a situation that's bigger, but you're putting a cap on it.
Yeah.
There's no limit. The sky is the limit. You're literally saying there's a limit. The sky.
Or they're not even, they're not thinking about what they're saying.
Exactly.
That's what I think of, like, on the flip side of it. I'm like, that's people what I mean don't of. Really think about what it is mm-hmm. that means. Because if you really understand the concept of it, it's like.
Never say it.
Yeah.
You would never say it. That's like if somebody said, hey, bro, you know, with your podcast, the sky's the limit. No, it's not. It's not. But they're expecting you to be like, it is. Yeah. Thank you for that. And it's like, not to say that they're not saying it with, you know, in good spirits, because usually people are, but it's still like, nah, the sky isn't the limit. This is endless. And how I think, let's say you get in contact with Elon Musk and something, you could do this on a Tesla rocket ship and actually do it in space. That's a real, like, that's not unfathomable.
No, it's not.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's a real thing. So it's like, the first podcast to be done in space, and you're saying the sky is the limit? That's literally the opposite.
We haven't seen records broken every day of our lives, dude. Records that were never supposed to be broken.
Come on, man.
Records that are being made that we never thought we would see. Come it's on, like that's they're how you all have to starting.
Think.
Yeah.
That's how you have to think.
It's like, why not me? It's like, back to the whole point is like, why not me?
Why not? And some say, you know, you have to be delusional, which I agree in a sense as far as like, you know what I mean? Having that mindset of like, I could do, because like, bro, think you could literally have right now in your mind, like, I'm going to be the first podcast to do a podcast in space. Mm-hmm. And that couldn't really happen.
Yeah.
Like, that can really happen. But somebody might look and be like, why are you ever thinking like that? And it's like, hey, move around. Your mind is.
You're missing it.
You're missing it. Mm-hmm. And I can tell your mind is not. You have a sky is the limit mindset.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have a sky is the limit mindset. And my mindset is there is no limit. There is unlimited. And I think that's what the greats have, man. It's just that no limit mindset. It's like, man, there's no limit. Like, I hear, man, there's no sky as the limit. But I think, man, that's the biggest thing right there. It's just having that mindset. Like you said, it's a mindset. That's it. So, yeah.
You just work through it.
Yeah.
You work through it. And I think the whole, like, you know, not only finding a way, but the delusional part, I think the greats are a little crazy, dude.
For sure.
Like.
For sure.
I think that's safe to say in terms of, like, the delusion of knowing that you are going to be something. And I say delusion of knowing to delusion of assumption or egotistical, you know, thinking or philosophy. Mm-hmm. It's completely different.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
It goes down to what we just talked about again of you walk a certain way with delusion when you know that you're going to get something done.
Absolutely.
And you almost believe it. Like, as a people on the other side of it, you're almost like, he's crazy, but I feel like it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, you have that feeling of like, I can really see him doing that.
Absolutely.
So you just let them do their thing and just, you know, they're consistently saying the same thing. And I think that's the cool part about the delusion of the greats like Kobe, you know, Michael, is they weren't perfect.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And obviously when these documentaries, you know, came out, I had a conversation with my dad about it too. And how, like, I don't agree with everything. And I told you, I don't agree with everything that maybe Kobe and Michael did. Mm-hmm. But one thing that they did do is they never lost. Bro.
For sure.
And
again,
people are going to think of that as like, well, they, you know, Kobe lost games for sure. He lost. But when you really think, he never lost.
Yeah, nah.
He never lost. Mean. Like, he would definitely, he would walk by guys on the court and the guys would be like, oh, yeah. And he's just like,
yeah.
We're coming back.
Yeah.
We're going to get it done. And they would get it done.
Absolutely.
I don't know, bro. Yeah, like, he would get it done.
Yeah.
And like, that's the part that's scary when you're going up against somebody that in this case competition that has that mindset, because you know for a fact, like, oh, it's going to be a game, like it's going to be a dogfight for sure.
Absolutely.
And you have those small moments of like, let's do it.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that's just what separates, you know, and it might seem just like just very crass, but it's not. That just separates those who have it and who don't. Those who get certain things and those who don't get certain things. You know what I mean? We all get 24 hours in a day. If they were to get cut, they would bleed just like us. But what's separating them from anybody else is that mindset of, I am going to achieve my goals. I am going to get it. Like, yes, we're going to go through ups and downs, trials and tribulations. There are going to be things that happen. There's going to be loss. There's going to be a lot of things. But it's just those that don't stop. You know what I mean? They don't stop and they are continuously working. That's really just the difference. You know what I mean? Like, people who say, I'm setting this goal, and regardless of what happens, I'm going to achieve.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Because within that route, there are going to be so many things that happen, so many unknowns that we just don't know about that happen. But are you going to continue?
Would you agree that speaking now, like in nowadays presence, a lot of goals that are being made by men tend to have too much focus on the technicalities of the goal and the time frames of the goal rather than just knowing, like, I'm going to set this goal and I'm going to make sure that I do it every single day. Because, like, for me, I think of it from this point, like, you know, somebody that's starting in the gym for 2025, like, we'll say that, like, has a New Year resolution, like, I'm going to gain 30 pounds of muscle and I'm going to go to the gym, let's say 6 days out of the week, and I'm going to wake up at 5:30 and do that. It's like, bro, that's like five different goals in one. If you really like nail it down, that's like five different goals in one.
It is.
Whereas all you got to do is say, I want to work out and gain 30 pounds of muscle by May. Give yourself that deadline. Mm-hmm. And then you draw up the plan of like, okay, I'm going to go 4 times out of the week, but I'm not going to put a time on it because there's going to be days where I don't want to wake up at 5:30 in the morning.
Very true.
And I think the cliche of motivational speakers, and you know, some of the greats do it, like Eric Thomas has talked about it. I forget. There's some other people like, waking up, or not The Rock. Like, I wake up at 3 a.m.
Yeah, yeah.
I wake up at 3 a.m. and I start my day, and you know, I'm up before everyone else. Like, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
But 99% of the people in this population are not going to do that. I'm not going to wake up at 3 a.m. I think, you know, I know my body. I know myself. I'm not going to wake up at 3 a.m. I don't care.
I feel you.
So I think if we could just dial it down to, hey, I'm going to go to the gym 4 times out of the week, regardless of what day, what time, but I'm going to go 4 times.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
That's a great point.
If you think about it, they make the complicated things simple.
Yeah.
Kobe, Michael, you know, Babe Ruth, we'll throw them out there. They made everything simple. See ball, hit ball.
Yeah.
Kobe, have a ball in your hands. I'm going to produce.
Yeah.
However that looks.
For sure.
There wasn't an end result of like, I'm going to put up 35 points a game. Yeah. It was like, I'm going to make sure we win.
Absolutely.
So broad.
That's a great point. And I think to, you know, what you were saying, I think even more than the technicalities, I think people just get lost with distractions.
Okay. You know explain.
I mean? Yeah, yeah. I think so. Just from the sense of like, man, I've even seen this just, you know, just in just different spaces to where it's like, you know what I mean? You hear people say like, I'm going to lock in on certain things and I'm not going to go out or I'm not going to do this.
Oh.
You see them out all the time. You know what I mean? And then you have, and then you have certain people to where it's like, they're really, really grinding and you don't see them, and you might see them in the gym. And they're saying they're not going out and you don't see them out. And you know what I mean? And they're actually really, really working.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think that's really the difference, is people get caught lost in the distractions. You know what I mean? In a sense of like, within a year, that's so much time. But let's just say, 2 months. Whereas you have two people and one person's like, this is a goal I'm going to achieve. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. I want to get it done. And let's say they have the same. Let's just make it very, very specific. Two people, they have something that they want to do.
Yeah.
Both, let's say it's two guys, they get texts from girls. Hey, I want to hang out. One is like, hey, look, I got things I'm gonna handle. I'm achieving. The other is like, okay, I have free time. We can go out. We can go do this. Right then and there, the dude that was like, I'm steadfast. I'm focused. He's staying true to his mission. The other one distracted. Now you're getting caught up. Now you're going out. Now you're doing this. Now you miss time in the gym. Now you're not game planning, where the other one was like, she can wait. I'm focused on my mission. Yeah. I'm on my mission. And after the 2 months, let's say whatever happens, but during this 2 months, I'm on my mission.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that's going to maneuver. He's the one who's going to have forward movement. So I think what I'm seeing a lot is, man, people are distracted. Like, I think even now, in the times we're in now, there's so many distractions. You have to have a conscientious effort to be like, I'm going to be very, very specific on what I do and I don't like, and what I don't do, whether it's, I'm not going to get on social media, whether I'm going to like log out and delete the app, whether I'm not going to watch TV, whether I'm going to only read. You have to be very, very conscientious of like what you're doing, because there are so many different distractions. And I think sometimes people don't even realize they're getting caught in the distractions, watching TV, doing this, doing that. Now you're not reading. Now you're not researching. Now you're not focused. Now you're texting. Now you're doing this. It's like, it's the subtleties.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's the subtleties. Whereas people might think like, oh, I'm still on my mission. But it's like, what if the other person is not doing any of that and they're on their mission? Whereas the other person is being distracted by these small things, but it's so many of them that, no, these are big things. Now these are taking hours out your day, where the other person is reading, they're game planning, they're focused, they're only watching things that go to the mission. Like, it's a very, very specific, we always hear in sports, attention to detail.
Yeah.
It's no different than anything else, man, because those little things will get wide.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're not studying the game plan, now you missed, okay, all right, what this batter does, now you missed the ball coming this way. Now, and it's like, it's the attention to details. It's the same thing as on the phone, texting, watching TV, on social media. And it's like, it's little by little. It's so many things. Now it's a whole bunch. You know what I mean?
You don't know where to start.
Exactly.
You don't know where to start.
I think it's the distractions. You know what I mean? People are just distracted out here.
Oh, especially here.
Oh, for Phoenix. Sure. For sure.
It's so easy to get distracted, dude. For I remember my first 2 years here. Three probably was just constant distraction.
Sure. Yeah.
And it was like trying to manage everything. But no, I think, and that's another big one for people to identify. And it's like, it comes down to identification. Mm-hmm. It's like, what is it that you're really trying to do?
And how bad do you want it?
And how bad do you want it? And I mean, let's, here's another like skill that, as you know, as a man will only make you a better man or mm-hmm. a stronger man to be able to attract the things you want to attract. It's managing things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, bro, okay. If you've never been a two-sport athlete, you've never found anything to be other than skilled at rather than the one thing that you're really good at, you're going to be one-dimensional.
For sure.
We talk about one-dimensional athletes all the time. Yeah, and it's just, you don't see those guys go very far, or you see them very limited.
At all.
You see them very limited. Usually you see, bro, you got Steph Curry playing better golf than some of these pro guys out here.
For real.
Like, that's the crazy part about it. So to kind of like tie that into like the daily life, it's like, okay, cool. Identify the things that you really enjoy doing. For me, like, I do have a lot of hobbies outside, but bro, if I need to stay up a little bit longer, and this is why I said I am not the person that's waking up at 3, because there are times where I'll spend at the golf course like 3.5-4 hours on a Sunday because I know for me, I'm on a screen my whole week. Mm-hmm. I'm on a screen my whole week. And the last thing I want to do is be on a screen on my weekend. So I'm going to be outside because I want to be able to meet people and be able to come across some of those opportunities that I've been working on in here, but most importantly, I want to enjoy the time of being outside and getting the vitamin D.
Yeah.
So yeah, if I'm out there for 4 hours and I'm feeling like, damn, I've been out here for a minute, I need to lock in when I get home. I don't mind staying up till 11 o'clock or midnight, being able to work on the editing stuff. Like that's just something you got to sacrifice for yourself. You don't want to sacrifice the time of watching TV, then figure it out, bro. Multitask, you know, turn TV into a podcast, turn a TV into an audiobook.
Sure.
Figure something out, because obviously what is happening is not working. And I think that's the main key, is like, if it's not working for you, if you're not seeing quality work come out of it, or seeing your best true self come through it, or starting to grow from it, what are we doing here?
Absolutely, man. But I think, to me, that's what I'm seeing the most, just in regards to just so many different things. You know, people are just distracted. You know what I mean? And it's not to knock, but a lot of times you might hear people say, oh, I'm doing this or I'm doing that. Once somebody tells me something like that, now I'm paying attention. I'm paying attention. So it's like, if you tell me I'm locking in, I'm not doing this, I'm not going out, I'm not going to say anything.
Well, it's like, you didn't ask me. You didn't ask.
I'm not going to say. And even if I see the contrary, I'm not going to say anything, especially if it's a man, because we're all men. Now, unless somebody asks like, hey, are you noticing this? But if somebody says, hey, look, man, I'm locked in and I'm about to do this, but I see you're out every weekend, I'm not going to say anything, but I'm going to also, in my mind, I'm going to contextualize that as you're not serious.
Yeah.
You're not serious. And I also look at it like, and I stand on this, man, very, very firmly. You know, we have the term is, when people say, you know, such and such isn't real, or people aren't real, you know what I mean? Yeah, just saying it like that. Like, it's a very like, kind of like an urban thing to say, like, oh, he's not real, she's not real, kind of in the space of they're not operating in a certain way.
Right.
I genuinely believe everybody's real. Because when people show themselves as whatever they show, that's internal. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's
so that's really them. Are we not going to say, if a snake bites somebody or hisses or shoots out venom, are we going to say the snake isn't real? That's what the snake was supposed to do. You know what I mean? So when people do certain things, I look at it like, everybody's real. Not as everybody thorough, as everybody extremely, extremely solid. That's a different thing. But when I, to go back to what I was saying, when I hear people say like, oh, I'm going to focus, or I'm going to be locked in. But you see them and they were like, what'd you do? And they were like, oh, I was out this weekend, or I did this, or I did that. I look at it like, when you're by yourself, I know you feel like you're not being true to self. If you're being honest with yourself, because You can lie to other people. You can finesse. You can fake. You can operate like you're really doing something when you're really not. But when you're by yourself, you're on it. You're like,
you got to sit with it.
You have to sit with it. And it's almost like, let's say you're tired, right? And you still go to the gym. That's proof of concept that you're still like, you're persevering. Mm-hmm. You're being truthful to yourself.
Right.
That you're like, no, I'm honest with myself. I said I was going to be in the gym 4 weeks, like how you said. And every day out the week or 4 days out the week, I'm still going to the gym.
Right. Yeah.
You're being honest and truthful with yourself. So when you look at yourself in the mirror, you could be like, I'm truthful with myself. But if you've only gone one day out the week, there's no proof of concept with yourself. Now you're lying to yourself. And now yourself knows that internally.
And that comes to standard.
Exactly. And when you look at yourself, you're looking at yourself knowing, I'm not staying true to self. I'm not staying true to what I said I was going to do. And I think that's the worst thing somebody can do, is not be honest with what their true intentions are. The only thing you can really do is go after what you want. But at least you can say, like, I set my goal and I went for it.
Right.
And I went for it and I did what I was supposed to do.
It just didn't work out.
And it just didn't work. But if you didn't do that and it doesn't pan, you have to look at yourself with almost a side eye, like, I didn't really do everything I was supposed to do. I was going out. I was partying. I was drinking. But I was still saying I wanted to achieve these things. You weren't being honest with yourself. You know, so I think that's the biggest thing. And I think that's what separates people. People who are honest with themselves and they really, really do it. And those who are like halfway, like they're saying they want to do certain things, but you're not really doing the things it takes to really get it. Going out, doing, and I'm not knocking, but it takes that level of sacrifice to really, really achieve. It really does.
Well, it makes you have the clear decision of like, where does this person play in this, their role in my life?
Absolutely.
You know, how much of it is this person going to get from me, knowing that when they say something and like, it's true, bro. Like you do it in any type of work. Like I've been fair of doing that stuff too, in terms of like, oh yeah, I'm going to work towards this. And it just, I didn't live up to that standard or that part because of the things that I got distracted by. Mm-hmm. So it's like, but you got to call it out.
You have to, we have to be honest with ourselves.
Like because then I think the scarier thing of not doing it or doing the thing and being distracted by it is not admitting to yourself that like that's an issue. So that's the key part of it in terms of all of finding people out there. And what I think is funny about that is, why is it always a people like the people that you come across and they're just like, oh yeah, bro, like I'm doing. You're just like, hey, how are you doing today? Like, what's going on? Oh, bro, yeah, I'm working on, you know, going to the gym more and just, you know, I'm not gonna be going out anymore. It's like they see you and they like look at you and like, oh, bro, you look good. Yeah. Well, I'm just, you know, I'm going to start working out more and I'm not going to keep drinking. And then like, but you didn't ask for it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's like, how am I supposed to answer that for you when it's almost like you're fishing for like a response? Like, oh yeah, dude, you should be doing this, doing that. Yeah. When in reality, we didn't even have to take that conversation
Absolutely.
And I do think it comes from a place of like
itself.
It's like they see something in you that they really want for themselves, but I think it's more of a relatability thing, which I don't know. Like, I don't get why people want to relate in that sense of trying to put something out there that isn't real. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you mean.
Like, if I look at you, you obviously a guy that works out. You know, if I go up to you, I'm not going to go up to you slouch. I'm going to go up to you like, you know, chest tall to whatever. Because that's just the way you look. Like, you look like a strong dude. So it's like, you don't want to look weak. You're going to look strong. But to go out there and make the comment of, oh yeah, bro, I'm just, you know, I'm going to stop going out and actually work towards this. When that wasn't even in, that wasn't even a come across. And I think that's when I know that there's still a little bit more learning and development to come when it comes to things that you actually want to do, because I'm not going to take it from you that you don't want to work out. Mm-hmm. But what I am going to take is you have a lot of things that you want to get done that you just can't prioritize
now. That's very true.
And that's one thing, like, again, back to like my family, it's like my dad always gave us priorities and wrote them down for us. Like, this is how you live your life. It's God, family, your school, your sports. For sure. And then whatever you have time for after that, you can call that a priority. You know, other than that, that's a distraction. That's how he wrote it out for us. So that was easy for me to understand. And to get to this point, it's like, I have a lot of things that I enjoy doing, but I can't say all of those are priorities.
For sure.
Things that overstep or, you know, over prioritize something else. And you know, looking at someone like you is like, you have that down, you know? So it can be kind of like intimidating as somebody else that maybe doesn't have that.
Well, I'll say this, man. I think, you know, just to go what you were saying with earlier, I think when people do stuff like that, they're almost fishing or looking for some type of like assurance.
There you go. You know yeah, I can see that.
They're looking for an assurance because when you just, if somebody, because that happens, you know what I mean? And, we've both seen that somebody just blurt something out and it's like, well, we weren't even speaking on that.
Yeah,
it's like, well, where are you trying to gauge from this? And I think it's some type of like how you were saying, they're looking for something like, oh yeah, you should do this. Or this is how you go about doing this. Or I think it's just an assurance thing. But to the latter of what you were saying, man, I think, man, it's all a mindset, man, because we're all human. So we're all susceptible to certain things. You know what I mean? Everybody's susceptible to distractions. Everybody's susceptible to, you know what I mean? Whatever they, their desires, what they like. But I think it all boils down to is a mindset and how bad do you want it?
Yeah.
I think truthfully, like, let's say if we were to get to, because I like to be specific just for validity, man. You know what I mean? I think that's the best way to like contextualize things. Let's say we haven't eaten for a week straight. Mm-hmm. Like I watched this show. It's called Naked and Afraid. It comes it comes on like National Geographic, and like they're out for a certain amount of time period. They have to figure out like clothing. They have to fend for their food. So if you're not getting your food, you're of course going to be hungry. But let's say we haven't eaten for a week. After a while, we're going to do whatever we have to do to eat. We're going to create spears. Mm-hmm. We're going to go like, I mean, we're going to be tired.
You're
going to
eat something that you probably would have never thought you were going to eat in your life.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But you're going to do what's necessary. And right. I'm talking, of course, in a moral, like within morals and principles, not just wild savagery. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in that concept, you're going to do everything. And Dr. Eric Thomas, he said it. He said, when you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe. That's very true, man. And I think that's the only difference between people who achieve and who don't is when you see the proof of concept of how they operate is you see what they're doing and their desire and how bad they want it and how they're like, hey, look, and I'm going to just be very, very candid to where some dudes are getting a text from the girl, they're getting this and that, and they're biting on it like, okay, I'm about to come over or do you want to come over? There are other dudes to where it's like, I'll get up with you later or I'll talk to you later. I have like, and even though somebody might look at that like that's very minute, nah, that's very, very specific because that's a lot of distractions for guys. I'm gonna just be very, very honest.
Yeah.
Women are a distraction for a lot of guys, you know what I mean? And I think once you can kind of curve that or you can kind of like get to a space to where you're like, hey, look, I have to achieve my goal.
Mm-hmm.
I have to. There's nobody that's gonna do it for me. Like there's nobody that's gonna help me with this. Like it is on me. Once you get to that mindset, and it's like, nah, I have to get this to, like, I have to, right. I have to.
Right.
Once that becomes a real reality, then everything else, if it's that dire, if it's that serious, everything else is going to be like, it's going to be like Moses parting the Red Sea. Seriously, like, hey, look, nah, I have to get to the other side. Yeah. I have to get to the other side. And I think it has to become, it's not dire enough for most people, bro. I'm gonna be honest with you.
It's a situational thing.
It's not dire enough.
It's not a recipe. It's not something you go look up on Google or on AI. It's something that you have to be able to experience. And that's why I think it's crazy how there's still a lot of people out here that are in their, you know, their late 30s, early 40s, and still have no depth. It's because they've never been in a situation like that. And
I'll share
very like transparently, and I didn't plan on talking about this, but bro, I thought I was gonna get fired this week. Like they were doing layoffs. They did layoffs out of nowhere where I'm at. Like it was crazy. Yeah. They just did. They're like, hey, like this is happening. And once I got the email, I was like, oh shoot, this is real. I've never been in a company before to where I had to worry about layoffs because I just was comfortable.
For sure.
I wasn't in that situation. Absolutely. I was these guys that are like, you know, late 30s, early 40s that just didn't have depth in the work environment. Sure. So I'm cool. I'm thinking like, cool, show up to work, whatever, it's a typical day. And I get the email and there it is.
Word.
We will be doing company-wide, blah, blah, blah. Like, stay tuned for more, whatever, bro.
Sure,
so it's like, in that moment, and I'll remember for the rest of my life,
for sure.
My, obviously, survival mode to me is get out a book, start writing down. I wrote down how many checks I had left.
Before I got to,
what's it called? Like a severance package or whatever. So I'm like, all right, severance package. What is that? Okay, a couple months, whatever. So how much am I going to have left? How much is going to be saved? How much am I going to have to, you know, what? How much will I have to start making once this is done? I'm thinking about all that stuff, bro. Absolutely. I'm thinking about that. I'm working on my resume. I'm getting ready to start applying to jobs because I don't know when this meeting is going to hit.
For sure.
I'm not waiting on the meeting. Absolutely. I'm waiting. I'm going now.
And for sure.
Talk to a couple of people. They, you know a little bit, but I'm like, that's not guaranteed.
Yeah.
So I'm continuing to do my own thing. And I'm like, all right, what do I got to do? I'm thinking of end goal of like, bro, I might have to move out, get a studio, might have to move home, have to get a new job because they won't let me move home and work there. So think of it all.
Yeah.
And it's to your point of when you were in that mode of just getting things done, you don't blink. You go. You're in survival. You haven't eaten for a week. What are you going to do? You're going to eat some crazy shit.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You're going to eat some crazy shit. And you better be about it because if not, you're going to die.
And
it was not to that extreme, but in my head, it's like, I am not going to be like, I'm not going to live this way. I'm not going to work like that. So to your point, dude, it's like, it is not a recipe. It's literally you do or you don't.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you can do. And yes, it doesn't work out. Yes, it's challenging. Yes, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But that's the only way we know. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like you really got to live that.
Yeah.
And again, to make it more clear, it's like if you're not living in a situation to where at one point in your life you lived uncomfortably and you knew what that felt like, you're going to have to give that situation to yourself. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, no.
You got to put yourself in the most extreme situations if you have been living comfortably. Blessed. Like blessings to you for sure.
Yeah.
But that means you go to the gym, you stay for a little bit longer. You do those leg curls
until
you can't get up anymore. You leave that gym until you can't walk. Like you got to find extreme ways to get uncomfortable or else, buddy, good luck. You know?
And I think that's why I have so much admiration for people that come from other countries here and they learn the language, they create businesses and they excel because, you know, I think when you look at people, when you look at documentaries, you look at people's lives and they've been in the most tumultuous or chaotic or traumatic situations. It's almost like, and it might seem crazy, but it's almost like they have a hand of favor or blessing upon their life. Because when you have that you go through, that's extreme, it's almost propelling you for greatness. You know, it's almost propelling you for being able to withstand storms and test and things like that. Because when you look at people's lives who are great, they have the most traumatic stories. And when people ask like, well, how did you get here? And then they go to their story and they express their story. It could bring a lot of people to tears.
Yeah.
Because it's like, man, I've been through so much stuff, but I needed to go through this in order to get to where I needed to get to. And it was dire. And the reason why I had the fire or the desire or that grit or determination was because I never want to live like that before.
Never again.
I never want to experience that. I never want to go that week without eating. Like when you feel that, like when you hear people's stories and where they've come from, villages and they've escaped on a train, like at the gym, man, there was a lady, she's from Romania, man. And a lot of people,
man.
She, long story short, she was telling me how at 17, she escaped from her country by herself. And then she was telling me about some other things within her life. And I was just thinking like,
it's a book right here.
Like, okay, you were 17 and you fled. You fled.
Yeah.
You fled. So that means there was real stuff going on. You were in the line of fire. You were 17 and you fled. And now you're here. Like the level of just grit and determination, bro, most people would never even understand what that is. Like
that's suicide.
You know what I mean?
That's legit suicide.
We're very comfortable here, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's a blessing, but in the sense of they're not wars that are going on outside of your window right now. You know what I mean? We're hearing bombs going off, where we're hearing shooting, like real wars, you know what I mean? To where you go outside and you're hiding behind cars and you're running and you're trying to get through another border because you're trying to get to another country. For people that experience that and then they come here and it's the land of opportunity and you're able to acquire finances, you're able to start a business, you're able to get a credit card, you're able to do certain things. Why do you think they come over here and they excel? God bless them. Because they've experienced real trauma. So they come here and they're like, oh, this is sweet. Like, this is, I don't care if I have to sleep on the floor. Yeah. I was just in a war zone. And y'all are complaining about not having two bedrooms, two bathrooms, not having central air, not having, like, I'm cool with having this pillow and this pallet, and I'm going to go out every day, and I'm going to make something happen. So salute to everybody who does that from other countries who come here and grind. And I see why that happens. Mm-hmm. Because it's real pain and trauma, and it's a real sense of dire. It's like, no, I'm going to make it. I have to make it. And it's just not dire for enough people, man.
Well, that's why the ones that are mad about them coming over here, they're so upset because, unfortunately, that's not in their blood.
And I wasn't alluding to that. But to that, man,
no, I'm just saying. No, for sure. Like,
but I think what's wild about that is like, not like the reality is, man, like to speak on that, like God didn't create this earth with borders.
No.
He didn't create this earth with borders to where we separate people. Like, I'm not with none of that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, because how I look at it is, to me, that's divisiveness. You know what I mean? Like, people are supposed to travel and operate freely. You know what I mean? Like, amongst the earth, thousands of years ago, there weren't borders. There weren't these things that go on. So why do we have this now? That's divisiveness. To me, I look at it like, hey, look, if people look now, of course, like you want in any space, you want people that are operating just, operating in a space of just, pleasantly, for lack of a better term. You don't want anybody just going anywhere and just creating mayhem. Right. But that's for anybody. That's humanity. That has nothing to do with race or color or ethnicity. That's a humanity thing. You want people to operate with love and respect. But subsiding that, man, I want if an alien came down here and was cool, come kick it. I don't want you to feel like you can't come kick it. Like, you know what I mean? What, like, why is that a thing? To me, that's I look at it like it's hatred, it's divisiveness, and it's not with the love of God for real. You creating borders to where people
so
can't,
people trying
to where you
God
can't
right
do
now,
that, man. Yeah, no, that's out. That's weird, man. Like, no, it's supposed to be love for everybody.
It's sad. It's sad. I mean, the last thing that I will add to this, it's sad that some of the people that were in those situations are the exact same ones that are complaining about these situations and trying to close that up. And it's very sad and disappointing, you know, being able to talk about that and to sit here being, you know, Hispanic or Mexican and to understand the other side of it, to where it's like, bro, my grandparents, for sake, they, with their big family and my dad, like coming over here and then starting their own restaurant.
Absolutely.
And just grinding, dude.
Absolutely.
Like, they were millionaires. They wouldn't make a lot of money, dude, they put together a life that allowed my tios and tias to excel, to have kids, to carry on the generation. That's a win to me. That's a bigger win than adding a dollar sign to anything, because it adds more to the lineage, bro. Like, you want it to continue to keep rolling out.
It is, man.
And they did that for their kids.
For sure.
And I see that as beautiful. I see stories like you just talked about as beautiful. I don't ever come across many of them that are like that extreme. I work with somebody that came from Mexico, and it took them, you know, just a long time to be able to say that he was successful enough. But I love those stories because it puts perspective
It does.
Regardless of how much stuff is going on in the U.S., just the U.S., I still don't know, man. I still try to wake up every day just blessed to be able to have the space that I have and go out and do things freely. Because I know somewhere not very far, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You really can.
It is, man. It is a blessing. And I think if we were to reverse it, and if you were to have a large population, there are people who would be able to, but if you were to reverse it and have a lot of Americans go to other countries with hardly any, let's say no money, and now you have to acquire the language, figure out the culture, get a job, and then let alone create a business and become a millionaire there, most people would never be able to do that.
Bro.
So when you see people come from other countries and they acquire the English language, even though we speak it fluently, it's still one of the hardest languages to learn.
It's very challenging.
It's a very challenging language to learn. Then you have to learn the dollar currency. And then you create a business in a land that you're not from. And then let's say you become a millionaire. Bro, that's heroic. Like, because if it was reversed, most people couldn't go to, let's just throw out a country. Let's just say China or Brazil or Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. You go to one of those three places, learn the language, learn the currency, and then create a business to where you become a multimillionaire in their land. Most people wouldn't even, I'm going to just keep it all the way. A lot of Americans have an entitled mindset to where you travel and you expect people to know the English language.
Yeah.
That's crazy in my mind. I go, like, I was just in Cox the other day, switching my Wi-Fi.
Okay.
And I heard one of the ladies, now my Spanish is más o menos un poquito.
Okay.
It's small, but my desire to learn mm-hmm. is extreme. And when I can, I speak it. And so I heard the lady speak. And so I walked up to her. We had a conversation. And so I simply asked, I said, ¿tú hablo español? And so she was like, sí, and started speaking in Spanish. And I was like, sí, más o menos un poquito. And she was like, well, where are you from? And then we started having a conversation. And she was like, well, how are you learning? Like, how are you learning yeah. Spanish? And I was just like, my desire is to like, I don't want to just be just, I want to be multifaceted. You know what I mean? To go places and always expect somebody to speak to me in English, to me is a very entitled and that's wild
true.
Mindset.
That's true.
That's an extremely entitled mindset to where you have people to where Spanish is their first language and they acquire the English language. So why would I not want to acquire the Spanish language? Why?
No, it's facts.
Because I believe it's, of course, English is in America. And then I believe Spanish is the second as far as the most spoken language. Mm-hmm. So it's like, and it's a language that's spoken worldwide. Yeah. Why would you want to like, especially with traveling, why would you want to go somewhere to where the language is Spanish and you're only speaking English and expecting people to speak to English? Like, to me, that's just a wild
That's why
mindset,
some people don't
man.
Like when we go travel someplace.
And rightfully so. Mm-hmm. And rightfully so, because it's an entitled mindset. And so it's like, no, I want to go places and I want to be accustomed to what you have going on. I don't want you to have to get accustomed to what I have going on and accommodate me. No, I'm in your land. I want to speak the language. Mm-hmm. And so that's just my mindset, man. And I think, you know, when I hear these stories, like, I think to me, it's heroic, man, truthfully. And when people try to flip it like it's something other, it's like, man, you wouldn't be able to do that. You wouldn't be able to go to that country and create all of this stuff that said origin or nationality came to America and created. So to not look at it like it's an act of heroicism or heroic, to me, it's like, yeah, your mind is fried. That's just how I look at it, because it's like most people would never be able to do that.
No, it's a valid statement. You could argue it with anyone, because as much as we say it's land of opportunity, most definitely in the most powerful and influential ways it is, and the most inspiring ways it is. But just as much as that is on the pro side, it's, bro, there's some people that are in roles for whatever, like I'll be as broad as I can, that are in roles that do not have any deservance. Of
being
there.
For sure. Nepotism is real. Absolutely.
Bro,
absolutely.
If I had to label, you know, what the U.S. kind of like.
Oh, yeah. Nepotism. It's nothing either, wrong with it when it's deserving.
Here's the thing. You could cry about it.
For sure. Absolutely.
Or you could keep working towards
it. Just peep it and just keep
going. Keep working towards your goal and you grind it out until you find that person that is able to see what true work you're doing.
Absolutely.
And taps you on the shoulder. Absolutely. God's going to do it.
Absolutely.
In his own ways. But
absolutely.
I wouldn't sit here and act like nepotism.
Oh, it's very real. Like, it's very real, man. It's very real. But so, I think for people who have, again, tumultuous stories, who have a story of constantly having to persevere, constantly have to grind.
That's not going to stop.
Just flip it and look at it like,
oh, it's
your life
stop,
is great. Your life is meant for, it's destined for greatness.
Yeah.
Because why are you going through all of this? It's not for it to be in vain. Mm-hmm. If you're going through all these things that, let's say, you're not putting on yourself, it's just life.
Right.
It has to be for a reason. But a lot of people look at it like, oh, why am I going through this? What was me?
Oh, it's funny, because those people aren't thinking like, here I'm going to be at. They don't have an angle, bro. They just know drive, live, success. Live, success.
Yeah.
And that's all they think about. And that's what I mean by like not having that result at the end of the tunnel, because once you have that result and you don't get it, it's back to the, oh, poor me. I didn't have this. I didn't have that. And these people, they're literally just trying to survive each day.
Yeah.
And then a day turns into a month, and then
for
it turns
sure.
into a year, and then it turns into 10 years. And then they blink, bro, and they're like, whoa, we're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep going.
Yeah,
that's the difference.
Going.
They keep going.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, man. I think it's it's a mindset, man. And I think, I mean, at least for me, I know I keep speaking on it, but I watch a lot of travel videos, man. And I think, you know, a lot of times we pull from like, not saying celebrities, but athletes and things like that. But the more mature I get, I really pull from like, you know, again, like people that when I'm watching like things on just different business acumens and people that travel and that create certain things, when people go from other countries and they come, let's say here to America, I was just watching something about a guy. He came from India and he's now a billionaire here, and he came here with no money. And I'm just looking like, dude, I mean, I know they make Superman and Spider-Man and all these other, like, you know, heroic movies, but what you did was like a act of, like, that's a heroic, like, that's extreme.
It's act of faith right there, bro.
Yeah, but it's almost like you're a hero. You know, how is that not a hero?
Right.
Somebody comes somewhere with no money and then they become a tycoon. They become a billionaire. They learn the language. They employ people. That's like, I mean, only thing he's not wearing is a cape.
That's true.
But it's still heroicism. And that's kind of now where I pull from like a more mature standpoint, because I mean, yeah, it's cool to look at athletes and stuff like that. And that's, yeah, I'm always be athletic, but my mindset is just like shifted now to where it's like, I look at things differently and I look at people who do things like that. And I'm like, if it was reversed, man, most people would never be able to do something like that.
That dude has so many life skills, you know, that can be taught.
Yeah.
It's within you.
And think of, like, your world's
away. He's
touched
so many people, bro. He's touched so many and made an impact in so many people's lives that he has no idea.
For sure.
You know,
sure.
And I think, you know, again, to the athletes, it's great and all.
For sure.
But it's one dimensional.
Yeah, it is.
You don't understand how one dimensional you are until you play a sport at a high level to understand that all you're offering is your talent.
That's it. That's it. That's really it. Yeah.
Like, you maybe have a few guys looking, or a few kids looking up to you and like, oh yeah, I want to be where you're at some point when you're back home. But bro, that's all you're giving.
That's it.
And it's, there's no weight in that.
What else?
Right.
Yeah.
It's for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So go on. My bad.
No. You're all good, man. And I was just thinking, like, you know, and that's why I think, you know, my mindset has shifted is because, of course, once you're an athlete, you're always an athlete.
For sure.
But I'm not in the space of athletics.
Don't identify
anymore.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, I'm not drawn. And to be honest, man, I don't really watch basketball as much as I used to watch it anymore. Not to say I could care less about it anymore, but you know, I find other things more interesting now, man, to be truthfully honest. Like when I'm watching things on travel, and when I'm watching things on certain business, when I'm watching just things on other, like, just, you know, it's just more of when your mind alters, when it expands. Like you said, man, life is like sports in a lot of different realms, but just being very, very intricate about it, it is very one-dimensional.
Right.
And once you start seeing things from other vantage points and perspectives, there's so much more out here, man, especially when you realize you're more than an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much more out here, man. And then once you get into that space, you kind of do look and you're like, I was very one-dimensional when I was doing that. You know what I mean? And once you start experiencing and seeing new things and you're exposed to different things, the desire that you had with once athletics now just transforms to all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why my pool now for inspiration pulls from so many other things other than athletics now, because my mind, and I know that's just growth, you know what I mean?
Right.
But my mindset has just shifted to where, when I'm watching these things and I'm seeing people come from other countries and they're creating businesses here and they're learning the language and now they're multimillionaires. And I'm looking like, that's real inspiration. Like, yeah, if you're tall enough, if you have hops, you could dunk. That's cool. But to go somewhere
there's
else.
There's not many like those people.
Yeah, man. That what's more difficult?
There's not many.
What's more difficult? Going somewhere, learning the language fluently, learning the funds, create to me. That's far more difficult, man. And that's certain. And a lot of those acumens can't be taught because those are worlds away. If somebody say right now you have to leave and go live in, let's say, India for the rest of your life and create a business there and learn the language, most people would be like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. But that's what people do when they come here. That's what people come here. And then they create generation. Now they've planted foot here. They create generations here. And now they're Americans. But that's still, you changed your whole lineage.
You really did.
And that's, to me, that's that, man. To me, I just look at that, man, because I could go on a tangent with that. But I just look at that like that. To me, that type of inspiration is far greater than somebody being able to do a crossover, to throw a ball, it's like, and that's cool. That's a talent. But I look at this now to where it's like, this is where I pull inspiration from now. So it's just a different mindset now.
Yeah, bro. No, I think it's great. I think I would say the same thing about how much, you know, inspiration, not only that, but like how much impact that person has made on so many people. Mm-hmm. My last question to you, because I know we're about we're about to die. The camera's about to die right now. But
okay,
do you believe in like a cultural generational curse?
That's a great question.
Do you believe in
that? I'm gonna be honest, man. Man, that's a cold question. I'll say this. I think I believe
that. And we can talk about this in the next one for sure. But I want to hear your thoughts.
I definitely believe that. Yeah, man, that's a great question, because I believe that there can be strongholds over like families and situations, and people repeat the cycle and they don't see it. And I'm speaking from from personal experience, and saying, nah, I don't want this, but it has to be conscientious. So somebody has to be the one to be like, it stops with me.
Mm-hmm.
It stops with me. Yeah. And this starts with me. So is it a curse? That's strong. I mean,
because I mean, we're on the topic of like, you put your mindset to something, you're gonna at some point it's gonna work, work. But then there's this whole other side of it, to where it's like, it's a little deeper than
it is, and that's like, why I do look at it, and I'm like, because on one end I do want to say yes, there are generational curses, but on the other thing, I look at certain things, and I'm speaking on, to be very very specific, certain things that I've seen in the inner city, just from certain families and just from like, just people that I know that have like just constantly, and I'm just going to be very, very honest, that are single moms, but it's a family thing. And so, you know what I mean? But I look at it and I'm like, you've been exposed to this because of what you've seen your whole life. You know what I mean? So on one end, that's all you've seen. But then I also look at it and I contextualize it. Like there has to be that person to where it's like, this is all that I've seen. And I don't want to be this. I'm making a conscientious choice to live my life to not have this, so that whatever I do starts how it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
So that's where I kind of look toward, and I'm thinking like, is it a curse, or are people just constantly unknowingly following the trends that they've just seen their whole life and just operating in spaces because they've never really conscientiously thought like, nah, this has to stop with me. You know what I mean? Yeah. So is it a curse?
It's tough, bro. Yeah.
I just look at it like, man, from an accountability standpoint, and I don't want to be too long with it, from an accountability standpoint, I think, and it could tie into favor, because I think certain people just have a certain will just to be like, I don't want this for me.
There you go.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't want this for me. I want this for myself. But I think that's what it has to boil down to. Like seeing something and being like, I'm going to live my life to where I don't have this, and I have this, and then from me, the family lives like this. From me, we're going to be millionaires. From me, we're going to operate in love and loyalty. From me, we're going to operate in true family. Like, it has to be somebody who's like, nah. And I think people do allude that to saying breaking generational curses, because it could look like that.
Yeah.
But it also is like where people just following, unbeknownst to them,
it's
just
following the trend. A fine line
that's, you know,
that you walk on, or that you end up falling towards.
Because I look at a curse to where it's like, there's nothing that you could do about it. Right. And it's like, there is something you could do about that. You don't have to live like that. And
curses are broken at some point. You know?
But I also look at it like, if it's really a curse, then nobody could do anything about it.
Yeah.
If it was that strong to where, like, let's just say crazy, it's a spell. You can't do anything about that. But it's like, no, you're not. Nobody's, you're not a puppet. You can control your actions. You can control yourself. You can control where you live. You can control how you deal with people. You can control how you interact. You can control decisions that you make. So if you just follow the pattern of what you saw, you kind of just fell into like you just didn't have the four. I don't know, man. But I take ownership. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think people don't take enough ownership and like, it's on you. And it could seem harsh, but it's really not. It's from a motivational standpoint. You can create what you want to create. So what if you came from certain things? A broken home, single mother, single father, whatever. You could be the one that says, nah, I don't want that. I'm not going to have this.
Yeah.
Or you could just be living crazy and then boom, that happens to you too. So I think it's again, how bad do you want to live how you want to live, man? How bad do you want the desires of your heart? How bad do you want it? That's how I just look at it, man. Like, you have people that have fled at 17 that come here and figure it out. How bad do you want it? It's really no excuse.
There's so many things
it's really no excuse.
Shouldn't work out for that. You know, there's so many ways that you could definitely fall into that tunnel or that pit of like, there's so much against me, so why me?
Or somebody could be like, oh, I just come from a family like this. It's a generational curse. To me, I look at that like you're making an excuse for it. No, because you can stop it if you want. Like, nobody is, you're not a puppet. Nobody's controlling you.
I think it's one thing to call it out. this has been what's been the theme absolutely. Happening, absolutely. You know, absolutely. Time and time again. But
yeah,
like you just got done saying, it's like it ends with me.
It has to. It has
and
to.
How I can't sit here and say like how hard that looks or how.
Yeah, for sure. But, it's going to be difficult.
Well, what I will say is what we've seen as mm-hmm. a common theme in a lot of these people's stories that mm-hmm. are successful that we've talked to that have gotten out of that darkness mm-hmm. is they just continue to keep going, bro.
That's it.
Keep going. Everyone's time bro. Comes. Everyone's
literally
time
what's
comes.
On my screen.
That's crazy. I like that saying.
Literally what's on the screen. Keep going. Bro, it's not, bro. It's real life, man. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like every time I get passionate about speaking because I really like, I'm really like on that path. You know what I mean? Right. Like when you're really living a certain way and you're aspiring for certain things yeah. and you're really, really living it, it's like, it's a real thing, man. And it's so achievable. Not saying it's not hard, not saying it's not difficult, not saying there's not a lot of things that come with it, but like, it's possible. Like it's really possible, man. It's as much as I could touch this desk, that's the, like millions in the life that you want to like, it's that possible, man. It's that possible. So it's like, I just look at a lot of things like that, man, there's no excuse for real. Unless you're just debilitating, you can't get out of bed and right. you don't have any legs and any arms. That's not the case. Man, you got people who still are like that and still figure it out. So it's really that's no true, excuse, bro. Man. It's no excuse. That's just how I look at it. Yeah.
Just to close it out, if there's a little bit of time, but what's one thing that you would say to kind of like sum up this conversation to somebody out there that's really in that dire mm-hmm. need of yeah. hearing something like positive, what would you say?
For sure. Yeah, I'm just going to stand on, you know, kind of what, not kind of, but what, you know, I said last time, I think when we ended is, you know, whatever you're going through, and I stand on this because I say this for myself, mm-hmm. whatever you're going through, use that and flip it as motivation. Whatever adversity you're going through, whatever trauma you've gone through, whatever you've gone through, flip it and use it for admiration, for motivation. Turn adversity into greatness. It's that simple, man. It's like, because you're already going through what you're going through. Mm-hmm. Just turn it. Just flip it. Use all that pain. Use all that struggle. Use all that trauma. And just use it for drive. I mean, that's the only thing you could... That's the only reverse that you could do. The adverse of that is just to sit in it.
Yeah.
So right. the reverse of that is... Use it as fuel, literally. Like you fill a car, fill your body with it. Fuel your body with it. Just with determination, drive, hunger, desire.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
And just keep going. And this, of course, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard, but don't stop. If that burning desire is within you, pray, ask God for direction, for guidance, for people to come into your life, to constantly achieve what you want to achieve and just keep going.
Keep going.
Keep going. That's it. Yeah, that's what I would say. Keep going. My God. Yeah. Absolutely.